Brooklyn's Radio News Review, a look at the week's local news in Surrey. I'm Graham Laycock, and at the Surrey Advertiser News Desk is journalist Charlotte Talbot to discuss this week's local news stories. And first look at the headlines in Surrey this week, with more on the terrorist attack. There's no confidence motion rejected by councillors and firefighters honoured for saving a man's life. These stories and more as I'm joined by Charlotte. Hello, Charlotte.
Hi, Graham.
How are you today?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
All right, well, shall we start off with the issues over the terrorist attack?
Yeah, obviously can't not mention the terrible events of the terror attack this week in central London. And we've actually dedicated most of our front pages this week to what happened. And there is coverage in our papers as well of the kind of local angle to it as well. And obviously after the attack, Surrey's Police and Crime Commissioner David Munro came out and obviously said he was deeply shocked and saddened by what happened. And a minute's silence was held at the Forces HQ in Guildford on Thursday to remember the three innocent lives lost, including that of Metropolitan Police Officer PC Keith Palmer, who was obviously stabbed by the attacker. We've also got coverage. There was a Guildford school, North Mead Junior School, who Year 6 children were actually on a planned trip to Westminster on the morning of Wednesday this week. Thankfully, they had quite an early start and left the school at 7:30 and were actually back in the playground just before the attacks actually happened. So thankfully, probably some scary moments for some of the parents who knew their children were up there. But as I say, thankfully, they were back way before anything happened. And also, once we heard the news of it, we were getting in touch with our Surrey local MPs to find out what the situation was there. Most of them, they were actually mid-vote when the incident took place. So a lot of the MPs were inside Parliament. We spoke to a couple of them. Woking MP Jonathan Lord had actually just come out into the tea room and he chatted to me over the phone and described the scene down there. He said it was quite calm, but obviously there was some anxiety about what was going on outside. He actually heard shouting coming from the courtyard, which he said at the time he thought was police or security services taking part in the situation. I spoke to Philip Hammond, my colleague spoke to Philip Hammond as well, who was there in his office, described that they were locked in and not able to go anywhere, but that he was fine. And later in the day, Mole Valley MP Sir Paul Beresford, who'd just been moved into Westminster Abbey, as we know, a lot of people were moved out of the House of Parliament and into the Abbey after the incident for several hours while the security services did lots of checks. So, yeah, quite a lot of coverage in the paper and obviously online as well this week.
Yes, obviously it must have been quite dramatic talking to Jonathan Lord as it was going on. And I suppose at that time they didn't really fully understand further risks there might be.
Exactly. I mean, they just seen the signs kind of go up on their TV screens inside Parliament saying that everything had been suspended, and they were really just kind of tuning into the TV news to find out what was going on outside, because they were unable to obviously move anywhere and kind of kept in the rooms that they were in. So yeah, he said it, everyone was kind of keeping quite calm, but there was a bit of worry about what actually had happened and whether there was any risk to anyone else, whether it could have kind of overspilled into the building itself.
Yes, because obviously at that stage they didn't know it was lone person. No.
Yeah.
Now, no confidence motion rejected by councillors.
Yeah, back to Surrey County Council now, and we'll know that this week Councillor David Hodge is staying on as the leader of Surrey County Council after a motion of no confidence in him was rejected. This was all brought about by the Liberal Democrats, led by Councillor Hazel Watson. She proposed a motion of no confidence in the leader following the furore surrounding the council tax referendum proposal in February, which I'm sure we've spoken to you a number of times over the last few months.
Mm.
And the motion was put before the full council meeting at County Hall on Tuesday. However, in a strong show of support, Councillor Hodge, 47 councillors voted against the motion and 12 abstained and 8 members supported the proposal. So, as I say, it was very much still in position by the end of the meeting. But Councillor Watson told councillors that Surrey had been undermined by these leaked emails and text messages, the budget revisions and the U-turn over the council tax 15% rise proposal. And she thought it was very much time that they kind of looked at the leadership there and made a bit of a change. But it was unsuccessful from her point of view.
Indeed, and I suppose you can say it has unlocked in the budget $2 billion of extra social care money
going from that point of view as well.
Going to councils over the next 3 years, so yeah. It is a real issue, isn't it?
And, yes, exactly.
And yeah. I guess you could at least say he was trying to do something about it.
Yep, this is true.
Yeah. Now, firefighters honoured for saving a man's life.
Yeah, this is a nice story. Four of our Surrey firefighters have been hailed as heroes for saving a man's life after he went into cardiac arrest. Surrey Fire and Rescue crew from Walton were called out as co-responders with the South East Coast Ambulance Service and saved the patient with their quick thinking and strong teamwork. So this was Barry Culver, William Keenan and Eric Daniels. As well as Walton Fire Station Commander Colin Francis, and they were honoured for their outstanding patient care from CCAM at the ceremony last week. The incident actually happened in June last year when a man collapsed in his chair while at a car garage just 100 metres across the road from Walton Fire Station. A 999 call was made and control centre staff contacted the fire station straight away to establish if there were any medically trained firefighters there that could attend. And they've spoken about, in the story we've put together, they've spoken about their kind of reaction and how they got over there very quickly and used a defibrillator to essentially save this man's life. So it's a really nice story to have a read of.
Yes, and I have been reading that there's been this sort of dual operation now with the fire service
exactly.
and the ambulance service, isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, exactly. Often firefighters are the first on the scene to an incident, and they are, as you say, now trained to be essentially co-responders, so they can perform kind of medical things
yes.
on people as soon as they get there, so there's no lag if for some reason ambulance crews are a bit further behind.
Yeah, well, time counts in these matters, doesn't it?
Exactly,
every second counts.
This proves that. I mean, they were really lucky that they were obviously just across the road from where this man was. So, well done them.
Yeah, indeed. Now, don't be fooled by smishing text.
Yes,
what is smishing text? I'm not up with
well,
this.
Well, it's actually a new bank account scam, which is known as smishing. Now, I hadn't heard of this term before I wrote the story last week, but once you kind of know what it is, it'll basically help you become more aware of the issue. So people have actually been warned to stop and think to avoid being a victim of this smishing. It involves fraudsters sending a text purporting to be from your bank, asking you to update your personal details or speak with you urgently. Now, these text messages, you think if you obviously receive a message from someone you don't know or some a company you don't know, you usually just ignore them. But the thing with these text messages is that they can actually fall into previous genuine text threads with the customer then asked to phone a number or click on a counterfeit website, and then it will ask you to transfer money. So this is the big issue about it. You'll get this message and it will look real. It will be in a... probably be in a thread that you've received messages from your bank before. Often when you're doing online banking, you're sent a code or something to your mobile phone for security reasons, and it will appear in this previous thread. So you'll look at it and think, oh, well, that's from Santander or whichever bank you bank with. So there's actually been a warning put out by Financial Fraud Action last year, because they said there has been this upsurge in smishing scams. We spoke to Yateley resident Debbie Thompson, who was targeted last week with one of these text messages. Now, thankfully, she got it. She looked at the website link that was sent to her phone. And although when she looked at the website, it did look exactly the same pretty much as the Santander genuine website, but there was a few things. The URL itself looked a bit strange, so she immediately phoned the bank to find out what happened. The message that she received actually said that she'd been hacked into and that her bank account had been deactivated and that she needed to get in touch with them straight away. She called the customer services and told them that she thought this was a dodgy text, which she was right about. And she was actually told it was not a problem and that this happens quite often, which made her understandably more worried about it. Now, thankfully, because Debbie reported it, no further damage kind of happened. But I have looked into other cases and people have lost a vast amount of money responding to these text messages, which appear on the surface of it to be correct. So, yeah, there's a warning being put up, people to be careful and just kind of consider what they're clicking on when they receive a message that purports to be from the bank. And if in doubt, get in touch with them on a number that you find away from that text message on their genuine website number and find out if it was them that sent it.
Yes, well, we're all used to being warned about not responding to unsolicited emails with links on.
And nowadays we just ignore them, we delete them. But so it's worrying when a message can kind of turn up on your phone in a genuine thread that you've received genuine messages from before.
That's the worrying and very clever bit that they're doing. Exactly. You could very easily be fooled into that.
Yeah,
and I know you've also got to be very careful if you receive a call on a phone and then you they tell you to ring back this number, your proper bank number, because they're still holding on to the line and can still answer the call. So even that's...
Yeah, exactly. And we have obviously got in touch with Santander to speak to them about it. And it's not... just Santander that this is happening with. It's banks everywhere, but they obviously have said that we will never contact customers by phone, email or SMS to ask them to disclose their one-time passcode, transfer funds or tell us their password and personal details. Obviously key to remember that they would never ask for any personal details from you about their bank account.
And certainly not to ask you to move money around.
No, exactly.
So. No, there we go. Now, Emerson finds freedom with his own set of wheels.
Yeah, it's a nice story to finish on this week. This is 2-year-old Emerson Grant, who was left paralysed from the waist down following a large arachnoid cyst on his spine. Now, he has just been given a donation for a new wheelchair, which is a really nice picture of him in his new set of wheels, which he received, I think it was last week. The toddler actually underwent surgery in August last year, and 2 months later was transferred to the National Spinal Injury Centre at Stoke Mandeville Hospital. And obviously the family are still trying to kind of come to terms with what's happened to their son. And since the end of last year, they've actually been unsuccessful in applying to charities for wheelchair donations. Then 4 weeks ago, the founders of Chobham-based charity, the Children with Special Needs Foundation, which is Gordon and Paris, answered their call, thankfully, and a delighted Emerson actually received his new chair at Oatlands Park Hotel in Weybridge on Monday afternoon. So, as I say, there's a nice picture of him trying out his new wheels, and I'm sure they'll be getting used to them as he grows as well. So it's really nice to hear that he's got his new wheelchair, and wish them all the best. And obviously there is more details in the story about the situation and how to donate at the GoFundMe web address as well.
Well, we wish Emerson very best wishes in his new set of wheels.
We do.
Indeed. Oh, Charlotte, thank you so much for taking us through the news this week. And we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Great. Thank you very much.
Bye. This has been Brooklyn's Radio News Review with Graham Laycock and from the Surrey Advertiser, Charlotte Talbot. And you can hear the Surrey News Review every Friday at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. on Brooklyn's Radio. It's compiled by the Surrey Advertiser and you can keep up to date at getsurrey.co.uk.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with the sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.